Get ready now.
This
OMG
is the Rich Eisen Show.
No other way to put it.
With guest host Andrew Siciliano.
Oh my gosh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not talking to you. I talk to anybody out there, the haters.
Rich Eisen.
I talk to the haters right now.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Mike Tirico. Senior writer for The Athletic, Vic Taffer. Still to come, Overreaction Monday, your phone calls, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
That would be me. Hey, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Thank you for being here today on a Monday after a wild week nine, a week nine that reminds us, as seemingly the NFL does every week, why we love this thing. Also, a great week of college football as well. The K-State and Texas game going right down to the wire. The Georgia game, the Bama game. Hey, Jalen Milroe's back, everybody. Remember when he got benched like a month ago?
I mean, Ohio State was losing at the half.
Ohio State was losing at the half before pulling away to a double-digit victory over Rutgers, the fighting Sean O'Hara's. Just a crazy weekend in college football. For the most part, the chalk won, however. The undefeated teams there at the top of the latest playoff standings all winning. But, yeah, wild. And then baseball this morning, where Craig Counsell leaves the Brewers to manage the Cubs. David Ross, thanks, but you came up a game short of getting into the wild card. A month after the season, you're gone. And Craig Counsell is getting $8 million a year to manage the Cubs, a reported 5 years and 40 to go after a decade from one team to your rival down the tri-state to manage the Cubs. More on that coming up in just a bit. Our Sunday began, however, with a really good game, a great game, actually. What a great way to start the NFL's third decade, NFL Network's, that is, third decade, with Rich and Dan Orlovsky, who evidently does not know Benny Hill, and Jason McCourty on the call from Frankfurt, where the Chiefs beat the Dolphins. Rich Eisen on his own show, live now, not from Frankfurt, from Berlin. That was fun yesterday, man. Great job.
That was fun. It was fun. It was great. And it was fun hanging with Orlovsky and seeing firsthand all of the dietary weirdness, having, crew dinners, building some chemistry with Jason McCourty and Sarah Walsh and Stacey Dales and all of us together. And, watching Orlovsky try schnitzel for the first time.
How'd that
he
go?
Liked it. He liked it.
Good. Yeah, it's delicious.
There was a the restaurant in our hotel brought like these little salmon balls out. He tried it. If it was socially appropriate, he would have spat it out. He didn't.
Wait, does he not eat fish at all?
No, I don't eat salmon. I didn't even try that thing.
Okay, I love salmon. I had salmon last night.
My issue with it is it's a fishy fish. I have a problem with that. It was a texture. It was it was sort of a puree type thing. No bueno. I did have a I almost Instagrammed it out just for you, Chris.
Thank you.
A Brussels sprout soup. That was really good.
You don't like Brussels sprouts?
That was it.
No, I have issue with Rich going on vacation and only posting food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a problem with that. I haven't done it.
You've been great.
Well, the only thing I did send out was we had a big plate of pretzels sent to our booth before the contest. And by the way, the pretzels are everywhere. And because we're used to, I guess, Northeast pretzels, where they're just sitting around and you can grab it and you could just slap it on a table and it breaks up like a Charleston chew you left in the freezer. Every last one of them, they hang them. They hang them up on like wooden, like a wooden stand or these metal stands.
Sounds amazing.
Just hang them. And you grab it and they're soft. I don't know what the hell they're doing over here.
They're good at the pretzels.
But they're soft. They're amazing. And they're good cold. They're good with salt. They're good without. I did see Orlovsky at one point, though. This is the weirdest thing I saw this weirdo do this entire weekend. And I feel comfortable having called four quarters of incredible action with him. on a highly rated broadcast. The numbers are coming back. I think it did like a 94 share in Amazing. Kansas City. So long story short is I feel comfortable calling him a weirdo on this. He started picking the salt off the pretzel.
Oh, come on. Really? No, the pretzel is the vehicle for the intake of salt.
Understood. You don't have to explain this to me. But
was he
I watched
eating
it.
Them plain, or did he dip in mustard or cheese? Like, what was he doing?
Cheese ruins pretzel.
I just saw him do this thing with his finger. You know how Mahomes does this thing? You know, when he's waiting for the next play, he does something like this. I saw him making this motion with his fingers, and he was scraping the salt off.
No, that's bad. Hold on. I got to ask this though about the food because Peter King had this in his column. Can we throw this up? So Peter King was in the open air press box there. And he said that they were selling cocktails in the press box. Did you guys order a cocktail during the game, Rich?
No, we didn't. No, oh,
no. Okay. No GT at half or something?
No. I didn't have a roadie. I didn't have anything like that. No, nothing.
Channeling your inner Cosell?
I'm locked in. I am locked in.
I mean, this heard.
This was it. I was as locked in as I could possibly be. And it's great. Orlovsky's already heading back to Bristol. So it's just me and Jason McCourty coming up on this coming weekend.
Do you still have Dales and Sarah Walsh? Because Dales pounded a beer on GMFB this morning. You should have seen the look on Jason's face. Stacey Dales, noted Canadian, is doing this, like emptying a beer stein live during their hit.
Noted.
And the look on Jason's face was just...
He's not in Rutgers anymore.
Yeah.
You know? We're over here in Germany, so it's just awesome. It was great. On the train to Berlin, I saw like a Tua jerseys, Mahomes. There's Mahomes posters all over the Frankfurt rail station, all over the place. And you know, Mahomes, I think enjoyed the experience, and just like Brady did last year, talking about one of his highlights of his career. I think Mahomes enjoyed the experience as well.
It was an amazing experience to be out here in Germany. I mean, you could see red all around the town. I mean, the Chiefs Kingdom showed up. Dude, the German fans, they knew it. They were loud the entire game. They were passionate. You could tell that they watch football on American football on the daily, and they really understand it. And it was great for the NFL to give us this opportunity. I'm sure there'll be many more as my career goes on. And I'm excited to get back and be able to play, and not only Frankfurt, but Munich or wherever else the NFL goes.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see the Chiefs over here anytime soon. I mean, they coughed up an Arrowhead game to come over here, and I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll be like the Jaguars of Germany. Who knows? And come back here. There is a game in Munich, I believe, next year. And one last story to tell you about this international series in Germany is once again, they played Country Road. And everybody full throat singing John Denver en masse, 50,000 people singing John Denver. And I ran into Peter O'Reilly, the executive in charge of these big events, including the international series, the draft and things of that nature, special events, the Super Bowl. And I ran into him on the 20th anniversary day on Saturday. And he told me that a member of his staff last year walking into the game in Munich overheard a group of German fans singing Country Road together, just about four of them. And she then reached out to everyone else to say, hey, this is weird that they're singing Country Road, John Denver. They knew the lyrics, so maybe you should play it later on in the game. And they did that with Brady and the Seahawks there. And that's what sparked them to even think about playing John Denver in Munich last year. And now it's a tradition. They'll do it again next week, I'm sure, with the Colts and the Patriots. It was just somebody strolling in from the NFL event staff saying, you know what, I just overheard this. Maybe we should do it. And then, you know, a few hours later, 80,000 are doing it, and the rest is history. It's kind of funny.
You mentioned Colts-Patriots here. That's the game next week coming up here, week number 10 over there. I don't know if you've heard this yet, but want to play Bill Belichick this morning.
Dude, I got the email like, from NFL Network, from our assignment desk, from our editorial staff. And I couldn't believe the number of times he was asked about his job status and if he's coaching for his job this weekend in Germany. I have not heard this sound. This is unprecedented. So we have that soundbite, huh? Let's hit it.
Have you been given any assurances from ownership about your job status for the rest of the season?
Yeah, my focus is on getting ready for the Colts.
Do you personally believe that you could be coaching for your job this week against the Colts?
I'm going to control what I can control and get ready for the Colts.
Wow. Do we know who was asking the questions?
I don't, but Rich, I had the same reaction that you did. I woke up same. We get the same feed blast here, and I looked at it when I was rubbing sleep out of my eyes this morning, because Belichick's always the first Monday morning coach to have his day after presser. And the idea that he was asked repeatedly, like, hey, are you going to be Dennis Allen, was it Dennis Allen fired on the flight home from London? I mean, that's not how it was worded, but the idea that we're even having this conversation after nuts. Jonathan Kraft was seen, like, you know, people are saying, what was Jonathan saying to his dad when CBS caught them coming back from break yesterday? Were they talking about the coach? I mean, it's just bonkers.
Listen, I will say this. You can't predict anything in the NFL ever, right? It's a narrative generating machine that creates one moment after another, one drama after another, one storyline after another that you just can't expect. I would be absolutely stunned if the Patriots Kraft Belichick relationship ends in the middle of a playing season.
Agree.
Just, you know, I just don't see that happening. And then look, you could say all you want about the roster that's currently wearing Patriots gear and how Belichick is the one who picked them. You know, they are banged up. I mean, they are missing some of their best players, without a doubt. But Ramondre Stevenson, I think, is playing some of his best football all year, and so is Zeke. And the turnover that did him in, you know, it was a great throw by Mac, and just Juju didn't catch it. You know, these are the things where when you're not that good of a team, you make mistakes and you can't overcome them. And I think that's the team that the Patriots are right now, and you're just not used to it. I looked it up on the train ride today. The last time Belichick was 2-7 was his first year in New England. When the team went 5-11, it was a week 12 game against Cleveland of all teams, and they lost that one as well. So, you know, I don't know who was the broadcaster of that game at all, who was in that, you know, broadcast production meeting with a 2-7 Belichick. Maybe I'll reach out to Don Crickey to see if it was him. You know, I don't know, but, that's what we've got on our hands here. And, you know, it's every game is important for a franchise that is coached by the winningest coach that's out there right now in terms of active coaches, and one of the winningest of all time, not used to this sort of stuff. I just would be stunned. And, you know, I thought Bill handled the question really well, because I'm sure deep down he wants to say, like, excuse me, like, really?
You talking to me?
Exactly, like full on Travis Bickle on him, you know, and that's a taxi driver reference. So bottom line is just looking around like, really, are we really asking me if I'm coaching for my job in Germany that I might get fired on the flight home? I just don't see that. Just to put in, you know, if Mayo is the coach in waiting, they're not going to bring him in as the interim in the middle of a season. I just don't see anything like that happening. And then apparently, you know, Ian Rappaport was the one who reported a couple of weeks ago on Game Day Morning is that they signed him to a very lucrative contract extension. So the bottom line is, you know, if this is the end of Belichick and the Patriots by the end of the year, this is by no stretch ever the end of Belichick with the New England Patriots. I mean, relationships obviously fray when you part ways after a long time, but they, you know, they're always repairable. And you know, one day we will see Aaron Rodgers waving to the adoring crowd in Lambeau the same way that we saw Favre do it, and he left them under circumstances far more awkward and dismaying for him. So yeah, I just don't see that. What a question to ask him. I can't believe I sent that to the group. I'm like, I can't believe this is the backdrop of the Patriots game. And we've got another one on Christmas Eve night in Denver. And speaking of which, just, you know, this just broke a couple of minutes ago. There's no flex out of the Denver Broncos and the Vikings in a couple weeks. They're going with Josh Dobbs versus Dangerous Wilson.
That's an interesting one. Yeah,
they didn't flex out of that.
They
at
didn't.
All.
And I'm curious if it's because they assume so. The Vikings and the Packers are Week 17 Sunday night. Maybe they just assume they're going to lose that one. So you don't want to call the Vikings twice and say sorry, you're out. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think, in all honesty, you take a look at the Week 11 schedule. I don't know what you flex into.
Everyone has said, sure. And I'm not being a homer, Browns Steelers seem to be the obvious one there.
Oh,
I guess
I'm not being a homer.
Hey, look, man. Right now, if the season ended today, every single AFC team every single AFC North team would make it. Which has never happened. And I know that's something that we've been talking about on the show for quite some time, that it's entirely possible. But by the end of the night, there can be another 5-3 team. And that could be the New York Jets. A 2 a.m. kick, gents.
Are you staying up?
Germany.
You staying up, or are you going to go to bed and then wake up?
Two words. Hell no.
You don't want to sit through 17-13 tonight?
2:20 a.m. I mean, could you imagine if it turns out like a game like Jets-Giants? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm going to stay up at 4:30 in the morning trying to see Zach Wilson struggle to make a throw. You know, I mean, get out of here.
I mean, you can Although stay he has been up playing till better 4:30 of late. And then get some no strudel and a cup of coffee. No.
Oh, but here's great the plan. Andrew, some waffles, breakfast.
Yeah.
Oh,
hell no. It's just, I'm so jet lagged now a weekend. I don't know how these players came out. I don't know how the Chiefs did it. I just don't know. Because you know, maybe they're not, you know, 54 years old. But I mean.
With a lot of ish going on.
With a lot of ish. Thank you, TJ. Hey, did the Mets just hire a bench coach from the Yankees to be their new manager?
I wanted to what ask happened? You what you knew about Carlos Mendoza.
I don't know anything about him.
Was
you know what I know
Mendoza's
about him?
Husband. It turns out he's not. So I don't know.
You know what I think about? You know what I know about him? I'm sure he's really good. I'm sure he knows analytics really well. And the Yankees stunk last year. So congratulations. Jeez. I don't know what the hell's going on there. But.
And then the Craig Council deal. So he's getting $8 million a year to go to the Cubs. The Brewers reportedly offered him $5.5 million. So last year's highest paid manager was Terry Francona at $4.5 million. The Brewers went to $5.5 million. Maybe some people thought the Mets might go to $6 or $7 million. The Cubs went, to hell with it. We'll go to $8 million and shank the guy we already got here.
That's crazy.
This is odd.
What is happening?
It's not just anybody they shanked either, right?
Yeah.
No, it's David Ross.
David Ross. A hero, a local series legend. Hero.
Yeah, thanks for breaking the curse of the goat. Like, see ya.
I mean.
Get out. I don't know what the hell's going on. So the Padres let their manager walk to San Francisco. The Brewers let their manager walk to Chicago. I mean, I honestly don't know what the hell is happening whatsoever. All I know is these are just deck chairs to be rearranged in the baseball narrative of the offseason, waiting for Shohei Ohtani to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
We're all waiting. What's Shohei going to do? Let's go. Because at some point, that thing's going to break. And I don't know where I'm going to be, what country I'm going to be in, what time zone I'm going to be in, but that's going to be lit when that guy decides to make a move.
Who does Shohei Ohtani want as manager of the Yankees?
I don't think he cares.
Or the Dodgers.
Dude, that's the one. If I had to put my marker anywhere, Boston, it's the Dodgers. I don't think he wants any. You think he wants a piece of the Eastern Corridor, the Northeast Corridor?
Does Shohei Ohtani like Craig Council? What has Kosuke Fukudome told him about Wrigley?
Nice. Look at you. At you dropping names. Like
Yamamoto sweepstakes coming soon, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's a couple more football things I want to
Let's do that.
Yeah, what else can I get your eye, Rich? Yeah, go ahead.
No, no, we could take a break and come
you
back.
Do
and
that.
Do
let's take a break.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this.
What have I got to do?
It's your show.
I'm just staying up. I'm just staying up till 2:20 in the morning.
2 in the morning to watch out. Zach Wilson, baby. Get excited.
Hell no. Two words. Hell no.
Hell right. to the no.
Well, have a Turkish coffee and let me read this thing about game time or tell you all about it because obviously, you know, it's great. It's how you get your tickets, whether a game, a show, a concert, the only way to go for last minute tickets. Not frustrating like all those other places. Download the Game Time app. Go through it. You can see everything is there. Anything you want to go to, it's in the Game Time app. And the best part about it, not only that it's easy, you're not going to get frustrated, you'll find your tickets, is that if you use the promo code RICH, R-I-C-H, you get $20 off that first purchase. So download the Game Time app, open an account, plug in R-I-C-H, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Obviously, restrictions apply. They always do. Visit GameTime.co if you want all the terms. All you got to do, though, is download the app, Game Time, put in the promo code RICH, R-I-C-H. You get $20 off, and Game Time will solve all your ticketing needs. The rest of Week 9, what we saw yesterday, including football made in Germany.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's the Rich Eisen Show. Yours truly sitting in for Rich, who's with us live from Berlin. Chris Brockman, the other side of your screen here as well. There was this old bit that Letterman used to do, Rich. Remember, called May We See Your Photos, Please? Where they would send someone down to Times Square and ask tourists, like, can we see the pictures you're taking? Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
So we've been going through your IG here. May we see your photos, please, from the trip? All right, so this is a train ride.
Yeah, look at that,
Looks lovely.
Yeah, I had no idea where I was.
There's the famed TV tower in Berlin. That's on the East Berlin side, right?
I don't know.
I think it is.
You know where it was? It was on the right side of the car.
There you go.
Side of the cab. I don't know. I've never been here. That's where I'm going. I'm gonna stroll around. Maybe get a guide and take me around. And tell me what's going on.
It's a really cool.
That's what
town.
I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure stuff out. Just putting it all out there. I walk around. I got to work the pretzels off.
You need more.
How many did you have?
Well, let's see.
All right, Rich. Here we go. According to TripAdvisor,
we met with the Dolphins on Thursday. Had one there. And then Friday, the pretzel bread at breakfast. Had to do it. Then
you got,
Saturday.
You
got
to go to the Reichstag building.
Oh, we're off
there's,
the pretzels?
There's also that's, really...
That's, I'm trying to give you things
really
to do.
Cool, Brandenburg Gate. Brandenburg Gate, and like there's a really cool museum, yeah, too.
No,
like
got,
that,
no, no,
that,
don't
that
worry.
Showed what all the East German side no, life
my,
was
my
like
wife's
there.
Got
really
this
cool.
covered. Don't worry about
no,
it.
No, she's got
wife.
It covered.
Wife. Museum yeah. Island. My wife.
Very good.
The zoo is great.
Awesome. The Berlin Zoo.
Great stuff.
Tea Garden.
What about Zoo Station? Wasn't that like the U2 album? Wasn't that...
No, I'm here in Berlin.
Del Tufo's not here.
Okay. Rich, we found one more photo from your IG. Can we put this up? This is from Friday. What does this store sell?
It's a store. Yeah, it's a schmuck store. So I put that up, and I asked on my Instagram, what is sold here? Wrong answers only. I was told the German word for jewelry is schmuck.
Oh,
so, I thought in Yiddish it means something else.
No, I know that. That's why I took that picture. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I remember Maury the Wig Man. What am I, a schmuck on wheels, you know, from Goodfellas? It's very interesting that if obviously schmuck means something different here in Germany, so much schmuck insurance. So one must one would think insure your schmuck here in Germany. But again, I'm just learning the culture. Day
obviously.
By day,
you know, a little German.
just looking for daylight, as Brent Musburger would say.
I heard the guy that owns that store is a real putz.
There you go.
I mean, look at you guys,
ladies and gentlemen.
Hey now, Rich, if you go see the Brandenburg Gate, you can see the hotel across the street where Michael Jackson mm-hmm. held blanket over the balcony.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's just something for you to look.
I don't know if that's part of the tour. Okay. I'll check that out. Interesting. Fantastic.
That was so nuts when he did that, by the way.
Oh, my God. The worst.
Just hold a kid out the window. You want to get to the rest of week 9?
Yeah, TJ.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about your Cowboys.
Okay.
Dak played an outstanding football game.
He did.
Except for taking that sack at the end. You know, but...
Hey, Rich, you know what? If they would have listened to me and got themselves an offensive lineman at the trade deadline, then maybe he wouldn't have taken the sack.
Maybe.
Just saying. Because I don't think he wanted to take the sack. The sack happened. What was he supposed to do?
Sack took him?
He's finding CeeDee Lamb and multiple tight ends. I thought the Fox broadcast nailed it by showing Schoonmaker's knee down and the ball on the wrong side of the line of scrimmage. That was one of them, one of the moments. Obviously, Dak and another short yardage situation coming up just shy was another one of those issues. The clock management thing just keeps on creeping up, man. And the end of the games, like that moment where he's stepping out of bounds, if he had not just stepped out of bounds, it would have been 2 points instead of a 5-point deficit. It would have been a 3-point deficit. So they're not trying to score a touchdown at the end and no clock management issues. All they got to do is kick a field goal. But I found it interesting. You know, Greg Olsen, who's terrific, was talking about going fast with 4 minutes to go, because if you don't score here, you can kick the three and use your timeouts to get one more possession. But if you're just putting all your eggs in this basket here, you should definitely mind all your P's and Q's. And they just, you know, they had it on the 11-yard line and then a sack. And then do you throw it in the end zone, you know, when they're, even though there's 7 Eagles lined up there? I know this is a total second guess here. You throw it in the end zone and maybe you get a jump ball from CeeDee Lamb and let's go, or it's a penalty. I don't know. I just didn't like any of that stuff, but that's just the circumstances of it. The schedule, as we discussed before I hopped a plane here, Michael Irvin really hit this on game day morning 2 Sundays ago. Is that, you know, the Cowboys have a soft part of the schedule while the Eagles are on a bye and then take on the Chiefs and then take on the 49ers before seeing the Cowboys again. Dallas can really make up some ground here. So I'm not concerned about that. I'm just concerned about their team, you know, moving forward and what's missing. Like, what is missing from Dallas? Because we discussed it over and over again that there's just one piece missing.
I tell you what's missing, Rich, if I could.
I'm wondering if it's the same thing that
well,
I'm thinking. Well,
the fact that we saw a picture of Lombardi Lenny with those ham hock thighs that he has and those short shorts that he got signed.
Yeah.
A guy like that would have been kind of helpful in situations because we're not getting anything out of the running back position. It's kind of frustrating. You know, Lenny was there. He was there to be had.
Yeah, I know.
We didn't take the chance.
He was there to be had. And let's just we don't know what he's going to look like in Buffalo just yet, despite seeing the, as you pointed out, the ham hock thighs. And that would have been a smart move there. You know what I was thinking, that you go home run, you tell the Titans, I don't care, what do you want for Derrick Henry? And you put him with the star on the side of his helmet. And yesterday's game would have had a totally different tenor.
Absolutely.
He would have had a bigger audience too. But that may have been pie in the sky. My concern is it's the same thing there. The big game, Tony Pollard, is not there anymore. I don't know if he's still dealing with his knee injury or it's the new way of calling plays there. But, I mean, you look at him this year. He's got two touchdowns. Both of them came on opening night against the Giants. He's gotten zero since. None in the air, none on the ground since week number one. And then the big plays. His longest run of the year is 31 yards in the loss to Arizona. His largest reception was an 80-yarder in the win against the Chargers. That's the old-school big-time game-breaker. Last year, I mean, before he blew out his knee, my goodness, he was just big plays all over the place. He had two runs of 50 yards or more. He had a 46-yarder in a win against the Giants. He had a long of 46 yards he had on the ground, in the air last year, Tony Pollard, in week number two against Cincinnati. He had a 68-yarder against Minnesota in that game where they just absolutely curb stomped Minnesota 40-3. They're missing the big play and from somebody other, if you will, than CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is turning into an A-plus number one receiver. Mm-hmm. But that's my concern here is the run game. They're not getting very much from it. I mean, Rico Dowdle is not scaring anybody, and nor is Pollard anymore. And, you know, maybe Lombardi Lenny would have been the difference maker. I would just love to know if you just put everyone on sodium pentothal. Did the Cowboys call for Derrick Henry or what? I mean, that would have been just, again, I mean, you just need something that puts a card on the table and looks at Philadelphia and goes, you know, brotherly shove this.
Yeah,
here comes number 22. You know what I mean? Like, that's – they had that with Zeke in his years of being Zeke, where he would just – bowl you over. The Cowboys miss that juice. You know, it doesn't appear that Pollard has it right now, and that's my concern. Hopefully he can find it over the last nine games.
I mean, it seems like when guys have injuries like that, it does take a full season for them to kind of recover and get back. So, yeah.
And one last thing, too, here. What does Arthur Smith say about Bijan Robinson? What is he saying about him?
He was just on the podium today, Rich, within the last hour and a half. By the way, he shaved his mustache, which those who are just joining had not heard, and said that Taylor Heinicke is going to start again this week. He did the old.
By the way, this is when you're supposed to wear the mustache. It's Movember.
Exactly. So
he's
bizarre
zagging.
World.
He's working backwards.
Right. Like you're supposed to run the screen for Bijan. He ran it for Jonnu Smith. It still worked.
Of course. By the way, Algier scored too to put him up. You know, like, so it's not as if he's not getting the results here. But, and this is definitely born out of, I pay specific attention to Bijan because Cooper Eisen, who is on the verge of victory, if he can get 10 points tonight in a PPR league from Garrett Wilson and Dicker the kicker. He's on the verge of getting, he's getting rid of that zero in the win column fantasy this time around, hopefully. But I just don't understand why do you choose somebody seventh overall and then parcel it out. Is there something going on behind the scenes, or what is it?
So he was asked this morning, is he healthy? Is Bijan healthy? And he said, yeah. I think he played a lot of snaps yesterday. For any rookie, the season is long. You're going to have ebbs and flows. He's had a huge impact already. He had 11 for 51 yesterday. So he's deflecting, saying, no, we're playing him. You know, we're not going to – evidently, he's not going to give him 30 carries a game. That ain't happening.
He's getting less touches than Tyler Allgeier.
That's weird.
Not the eighth overall pick, Tyler Allgeier.
No, Tyler Allgeier is good. But at the same point, you don't draft the guy to have him stand there.
I keep saying it. They should
it's weird.
You know, they should have a Jahmyr Gibbs game for him. You know, where they're just saying, by the way, he's touching it for the first six times. Stop him.
Period.
You know,
right?
I would love to see that. I'd love to see it, and just let him try and carry this offense that does appear to need to be carried a little bit. It does seem sometimes it's a struggle. You know, and I think staying with Heinicke is the right move. I do believe that they have a chance to win this division. I mean, the fact that CJ Stroud lit up the Buccaneers defense in a way that few quarterbacks do, let alone somebody playing in what, his eighth career game. Man, that was something else. And it's also to the benefit of the Falcons. You know, the Saints pulled one out despite, you know, Bajant coming on strong again for the Bears at times in New Orleans. This division's open. So I think starting Heinicke is the right move, but it's just weird. It's totally weird. And I know we live in a fantasy football world, and he must be sitting there shaking his head like, you know, I know my team. I know my scheme. I know what I like. I know what I can do. I know what should be done. And I know that you know, kids like him hit a wall, that he had a ton of, like he had a million touches in Texas. And, you know, and nobody was running around the field of Texas that are the size of the guys that are trying to take his head off here. I'm sure he's trying to deep down do the right thing for the kid. But I don't understand it. I mean, he is a difference maker of difference makers, and he doesn't touch. He doesn't have to even get on the field. He doesn't even get on the field inside the 10-yard line half the time.
And what's so frustrating, weird, if you're a Falcons fan, is that division is so bad. It is winnable. If you beat the Vikings, I mean, that was a quote-unquote playoff game. That was two playoff teams, if you look at the top seven, entering that game yesterday. If you win it, you go to 5-4. You hand Minnesota a big loss if you're going to be battling them in a wild card head-to-head, potentially in December. You can win this bad division if you find decent quarterback play. They can't find decent quarterback play. And you mentioned Tyson Bagent. They lost to the Saints. Tyson Bagent had 8 carries for 70 yards yesterday in a losing effort. Yeah. Bijan Robinson had 11 for 51.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one last thing on Josh Dobbs. God, oh, I love this kid.
So amazing.
I know. And we were joking last week that for him to come in once again, he is basically making his career over the last 2 years as the, well, man, we're out of options. We need you, quarterback. You know, from what happened with Tennessee with the Titans and Malik Willis not getting it done, and they still needed somebody who could matriculate the ball in a must-have win-or-go-home playoff game for the Titans last year. And then whatever the Cardinals were thinking at the end of their training camp, they're like, let's get somebody who can kind of understand our offense at the last minute. And they went and got somebody from the Cleveland system that they were, you know, they took their offensive coordinator from, and they took Josh Dobbs, and look what he did until, you know, the Vikings needed him. Hey man, we're out of options up here. We need you. And he wasn't going to start because it's Jaren Hall, the kid from BYU. He's starting because he knows their system way more than Josh Dobbs. And you might sit there and go, really, a kid who's never really taken many snaps there, but he's been around, knows more about quarterbacking than Josh Dobbs, this system? Well, yeah, because there is a remarkable shot on the sideline of Josh Dobbs going over his cadence with his offensive lineman who he had just met, and he didn't know the names of some of his receivers either specifically, and he had to go out there, and Kevin O'Connell said after the game that he is describing plays in Dobbs's helmet, not just describing plays but describing concepts in Dobbs's helmet prior to him having to deliver the play in the huddle and then go run it after the snap. And Dobbs wins the football game, and he makes plays to win the football game. He is truly remarkable. And as we were joking last week, so many people can say, you know what, you know, of course he can learn this system. I mean, it's not rocket science. And he could sit there and go, yeah, I know it's not rocket science, because I know that too. And I know that's particularly tough, that he's somebody who can understand rocket science. He should be able to get this system of Kevin O'Connell's down. And he did. And I can't be more excited to watch this team keep playing. They've won four in a row. They're above 500. They have got their games against the Lions, you know, sitting right there in front of them. They keep winning football games. They might make the playoffs, and this kid's going to play some meaningful football games for the Vikings right now. And I can't wait to see it. He's a good kid. He deserves the opportunities. He keeps getting them. I'm sure Trey Lance is sitting there third string in Dallas going, really? He gets another shot? But that was one of the great stories of the weekend in week nine, along with Dare Ogunbowale. I knew I was going to botch
Dare
his name.
Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale. You know, that somebody in his seventh year is a running back, and he shows up to the stadium thinking, okay, I don't even know if I'm going to get on the field very much, even though Damian Pierce is out, certainly with my quarterback winging it all over the lot for 500 yards and five touchdowns. But, really, you need me to kick a field goal? And then he did. And the reaction shots of that broadcast where, you know, they showed a shot of the sidelines going nuts, his coordinator going crazy, you know, the head coach is kind of like smiling like the Cheshire Cat. Yep. And then they show a shot of Baker Mayfield, who's kind of like, all right. He
and
made
then,
it.
And then Baker marched down the field, and then CJ marched down the field. You know, the cool thing about the field goal, Rich, is after he hit the field goal, he kicked off, and he put it in the end zone.
Well, that's because there was a 15-yard penalty on top.
Okay, don't ruin it.
He put it in the end zone.
I'm sorry. We were sitting there. I'm telling you, because, again, just let me just describe the scene, and I'll let you guys finish the show. We're done with our broadcast. We had this conference room that we were using for our meetings all week long. That got turned into a makeshift appetizer and drinks and, you know, nice little get-together for the crew to celebrate a great broadcast. And we were watching Game Pass, the international Game Pass, and watching the games. And we were all sitting there. And when the Texans, you know, started to line up for this field goal, and Ogunbowale sets up, and we're sitting there, you could hear a hush in the room. When he split the uprights, it was bedlam in our
so cool
room. We were high-fiving each other with all due respect to the Bucks. We just couldn't believe what we saw. And then after the touchdown to take the lead, but with some time left, we're like, you know, what do you do? Do you squib it? Because I even said out loud, no, you kick it deep. And somebody's like, no, the running back is still kicking. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's right. But he kicked it from the 50-yard line. And when he boomed it into the end zone for a touchback, it was another cheer in the room. Just to see this oddity happen, it's just – man, that's why the NFL is called the narrative generating machine. You just can't make it up.
It's beyond cool.
Rich, your boy Schoonmaker should have been a flag for pass interference.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
Tackled before the ball.
Stop it.
That is preposterous.
Yeah, and Kenny Pickett didn't get a first down 2 weeks ago here in LA. We know that as well. So
That's true.
There's one of those. Even Kenny Pickett knows it. Yep. It didn't happen.
And I'm sure when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'll learn the Jets had one of them happen to them tonight, too. So
it's going
to
be a great headline tomorrow, Rich. Zach Wilson leads Jets to victory. Wow, great
headline. Attaboy, you're just making it up now. You're not manifesting negatively.
We're manifesting positivity.
Attaboy, look at you. All right, you're all grown up.
Andrew, is that you?
it's me. Hey, enjoy your day sightseeing or night sightseeing. And
Brockman, I'll speak to you in about 20 minutes or so after the show, and we'll do Overreaction Monday pod, where all podcasts can be acquired. We'll do it.
Bam. Guten Nacht.
Guten Nacht.
Rich in Berlin. I'm told we got a break. I'm getting yelled at. We got a break. We will wrap it. Coming up. Why is that chair empty?
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
There's somebody on Twitter, and it could be Bob, @real_BobCostas. Then you read the Twitter bio, and you begin to think something could be up. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, Rich. Late last night, and then again this morning when I woke up, dozens of texts, some claiming it must be real, some saying this can't be true.
Yes.
And one said, this is the best indication that hell has frozen over since the 04 Red Sox or the 2016 Cubs. But I am here to assure you and everybody else,
yes,
that the fires of hell are still very much blazing, because I am absolutely not on Twitter. They have taken the bogus account down. And I began thinking, you know, what would I have to do before I ever deign to be on Twitter? What? Like, binge watch The Real Housewives of Orange County, make a return trip to Sochi just for the nostalgia of a Pink Eye episode, star in a sequel to Basketball, or just for you, Rich.
Yes, Bob.
Make a special trip to the NFL Combine. All those things will happen before I'm ever on Twitter.
Okay, so this is the real Bob Costas. We can confirm that now.
Yeah. Oh,
Twitter needs that.
Oh, my gosh. Your son tweeted it out that this is not you.
When I saw the first screen grab that Keith sent to me,
yes,
one tip-off should be, look, I'm a reasonably humble and self-effacing guy.
Yes.
But would I knowingly shortchange myself 7 Emmys? Like, I couldn't even get the number of Emmys right.
Exactly.
I said that. I said 21 seems a little light.
You got to pull a scam. Get your ducks in a row.
That's so cool. We are back here on the Rich Eisen Show at the Rich Eisen Show desk, which is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. I believe we've been letting people hold for a while. Terzo in Iowa, happy Monday to you.
Guys.
Happy Monday, guys. Great show today, Andrew. Been a lot of fun listening to you guys. Sounds like Rich is having a heck of a time over in Germany.
Sounds like it. Sounds like a blast. Absolutely.
Yeah, it really does.
What's going on, Terza?
It was a great day of football, man. Being able to wake up, get to the office, turn on the TV, listen to Rich, and play some D&D. Great start to the morning. Happy the Sea Chickens got destroyed by the Ravens, which kind of makes me a little nervous to play them a little bit later on in the year. And TJ, sorry about you not feeling good, man. Sorry about your loss. I was kind of pulling for you guys. I was hoping we're going to be able to take out the Eagles yesterday.
Where are you, Terzo? Where are you, really?
I actually really was, because I don't like seeing the Eagles 8-1.
That's a good point. Nobody does.
Yeah. I don't really want to go to Philly twice this year.
That's a heck of a picture, Dak, about to pogo stick Don Beebe, his head right there. He's okay. Don, look it up, kids. Don Beebe, old-time Bills wide receiver. That's a good one. Terzo, we thank you for the call, and we thank you for holding patiently as well. I didn't know that people get up on a Sunday morning and play D&D. Did not know that. Is that a thing? I'm still blown away that you have that kind of headshot built here for a regular caller. Like, I think he's great, but like, is that a professional photo? Did you guys send a camera to Iowa?
He's an attorney.
He's an attorney.
Yeah, so that's why we went with Better Call Terzo.
And you have to be a regular caller to get these. You know?
Yeah.
No. Totally get it here. I should tell you that you can stream the game tonight. You can stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast to the NFL app, by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Rich all season long for free and get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone, restrictions do apply. Of all the crazy numbers from the game and games yesterday, like 475 or 470, whatever, being a new record for C.J. Stroud, or what Josh Dobbs was able to do, the only player in NFL history to score 3 touchdowns in consecutive weeks for 2 different teams. I mean, that's just crazy. How about this one? From what the Cleveland Browns defense did to the Arizona Cardinals. You know, by now they held them to 58 yards. Rookie Clayton Tune, that is a tough first start in your career on the road against Myles Garrett and that defense. But the Cardinals opened well. If you watch the first possession of the game, 12 yards to Trey McBride. Keontae Ingram breaks off an 11-yard run. They had 25 yards of offense after their first 3 plays. They got right across midfield, eventually went backwards and had to punt. So 25 yards on their first 3 plays opening possession, 2 minutes in, they punt. On the next 45 plays, the rest of the game, they were held to 33 yards. 25 yards on their first 3.
So bad.
33 on their last 45.
Ugh.
Like, you know, I'm a fan. I was certainly watching the game, but it was one of those where you put on the small screen because, you know, there is simply no way they will score. And I can't remember watching an NFL game. It's been a while where you're watching going, there is no way they score a point. That's a kick, a long field goal. Anyway, with that said, thanks, everybody. Thanks for making my life easy,
Andrew.
As always. I'm back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know what's on the show tomorrow, but we'll figure. Oh, we'll talk about the Jets win over the Chargers tomorrow.